So when you're serving and your kids grow up seeing you serve, mm-hmm. they catch that. It's not like we have to teach them and talk to them like, hey, we're going to church and you need to serve. It just becomes what you do.
Yeah.
It just becomes who we are. It just becomes a part of the culture of what our family is.
Welcome to the Loving God, Loving People podcast, where we talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in our everyday lives and how, in the end, all that matters is God and people. Here's today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I have a special guest here, and there's actually a backstory I want to share about this guest. So when I was in Bible college, this is over two decades ago.
Are we that old?
Yeah. This has happened. I got kicked out of Bible college. Long story. We don't have time on the podcast today. But right after I got kicked out, and it was a small private Christian college, this new guy shows up, and everybody tells me, hey, we found your replacement, another tall, blonde guy, and it looks kind of like Andre Kirilenko if you're into basketball back then. And I'm like, who is this guy? I got to meet this guy. And so this guy is Grant Botma, who is on our podcast today. Grant, thank you so much for joining us. We've been longtime friends now for decades. You've also been a huge part of Sun Valley and ministry at Sun Valley and ministry in our community. And so thanks so much for being here with us.
Yeah, happy to be here. I think the podcast might be a better episode if we talked about why you got kicked out of college.
All right,
but whatever.
So no, I'll do long story medium. I never paid them. I was on what I call the faith scholarship. I thought God wanted me to be in ministry, and so he would just pay the bills. If you're listening, you're a young adult, and you're thinking about going to college or getting into ministry, there are principles that you'll find in Proverbs in the Bible that you do have to line up. You know, how are we going to pay this institution, things like that. I didn't realize that. After 2 years of going to school, being on campus, living on campus, meal plan, everything, I didn't pay them a dime. And so they pull me out of class, flip around this giant computer monitor, and they show me, hey, you've been here for 2 years. All my books were on my tab. I get the coffee mug, you know, that had the school name on it and the sweatshirt. And I just kept saying, put it on my tab. Because again, faith scholarship, God's got to pay for it. And they said, you haven't paid us a dime. And I looked at them and I said, well, I don't have any money. And we just sat in silence. It was just like awkward. And then finally, the lady who's sitting there with me, she goes, well, you can't go back to class until you figure out how you're going to pay us. And so I didn't go back to class. And so that's how I got kicked out of Bible college. And Grant, obviously you had finances lined up. You kind of knew what you were doing, maybe some kind of grant or loan or whatever that you had worked out.
No, I was working, man. I had to pay my way through. It was tough, but it was that college was a wonderful experience. Yeah. Grateful for the relationship I have, especially with you. And my wife and I are grateful for how you invited us to come to Sun Valley and serve alongside you. And it's been a blast. So we're grateful for it.
Yeah. So Grant, for those that don't know you, give us a little backstory on, so you're married, talk about your family, talk about your job and kind of your journey in a nutshell.
Yeah. So my wife and I, Jody, currently serve at the South Gilbert campus. We mm-hmm. just moved that way, and the campus is really close to our house, makes it super convenient for us. Three children, Cambria, Parker, and Eleni, and they all are serving at the church as well. Cambria is in the junior high ministry. Parker's in 4-5-6, and then Elle is also in the 4-5-6 ministry. I work in finance. I own a mortgage brokerage, insurance agency, investment management firm. That's us.
So we're talking about relationships in the series, and this is the Loving God, Loving People podcast. One thing, Grant, that's always struck me about you, to the point where you stand out in a lot of ways, and one of those is your emphasis on relationships. Even in business, when it comes to, okay, we're doing stuff with mortgage and finance and all of that, it doesn't feel like a financial company. It feels like a relational company that's guiding people through finances. Talk about your philosophy just of relationships and your priority on relationships. And then let's talk about parenting. But where does that come from? Where did you end up kind of coming to the conclusion of, you know, we say all the time, in the end, all that matters is God and people. You live that. How'd you get there?
I believe God created us for relationships, and I know that when I'm at my best, it's when my relationships are great. Mm-hmm. So not only from God's word that he has woven us to be awesome in relationships, but also from my own experiences. You know, you have actually done a sermon on this topic, but if you look back at one of the most important things ever said by the most important person in Jesus, you might think, okay, it's probably right before he ascended into heaven, right? And we know that as the Great Commission. And when you look at that statement and you look at what he said, you try to break down what's the most important word. And some people think it's go. Some mm-hmm. people think it's baptize. Some people think it's some other action word. But mm-hmm. as you know, the most important word in that statement is
them.
Yeah. And if you look back at Jesus's life, them is the subject of his life. Mm-hmm. And them is very relational. And because that's what Jesus made his life about, that's what I'm working to make my life about as well.
So I want to ask you this question, and I don't know the answer to this. And so I'm curious, who is somebody who has impacted your life? Who is somebody that invested into you that you know, as you think about legacy and you think about, you know, other people's legacies on our lives and all of that, who's somebody's legacy that's impacted your life in a way where you look back and go, I wouldn't be the same person if it weren't for them? Of course, Jesus, you know, we're followers of Jesus. That's going to be at the top of the list. But who's somebody Jesus used in your life that's had a great impact on your life?
Yeah. You know, I had a different relationship with my parents and different upbringing than maybe some kids have. But because I was fortunate enough to go to a great school with a great community with great relationships, you know, that Bible college, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people there that poured into me. Mm-hmm. Bay Forest being one of them, Tim Reed being another. And even after college, I've had other men.
Bay Forest, he used to be an NBA basketball player, right?
Yep, correct.
So real quick plug for Bay Forest. He wrote a book, and I'll never forget the title of it. It's called Dunked on Deal With It. And it's because he was in the encyclopedia. If you looked up basketball, his picture was in the encyclopedia, and it was of Dr. J dunking a ball. Yep. And there's Bay Forest like getting dunked on.
Yeah, that's great.
And so he's in the encyclopedia as the guy getting dunked on by Dr. J. Anyhow, that's Bay Forest. Love that guy. Great character.
Well, I actually listened to a chapel message of his, and he was talking about mentorship. And he was living on campus because it was hot, you know, or it was colder, and it was hot wherever he was from. So mm-hmm. he was coming down to hang out in Arizona. And I just like knocked on his door and said, hey, you talked about mentorship. Will you be my mentor? And he was like, what? So I just kind of like forced my way into that. But we met once a week in college, and the Lord used him in a really great way to help develop my character and show me more of his word and reveal more of his character. It was awesome.
All right. So anybody who's listening right now and you're like, I wish somebody would mentor me, and I wish, you know, somebody would just show up at my door and say, listen to what Grant just said. He went and knocked on somebody else's door. Yeah. And the worst that they can say is, no, hey, that's not going to work out or whatever. But you pursued somebody. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
And so that's beautiful.
Well, you know, I think there's something different about mentorship now than maybe it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The world's different. It moves at a different pace. And all the mentorships that I currently have right now, they're not scheduled. It's mm-hmm. not like I'm sitting with somebody at Starbucks once a week and going over like a Bible study.
Yeah.
My grandfather once told me, hey, find people with wrinkly skin mm-hmm. and gray hair and ask them lots of questions.
Yep.
So what I have is like a whole bunch of really hard-hitting questions that I'm ready to ask people. And when I get the opportunity to hang with these people that I think are wise and have that wrinkly skin and gray hair, I ask those questions. Things like, what was the best parenting move you ever did?
Yep.
What was the worst parenting mistake you ever made?
Yep.
And although it's not an official quote-unquote mentorship, that type of relationship, because I'm prepared to ask those questions and they're kind and gracious enough to answer them transparently, it works really well.
That is so good. I agree 100%. The world has changed. The pace has changed. People are afraid of the title of mentor, but they're not afraid of questions.
Yeah.
And if you ask them questions, people will talk. I love that. That's worth the time you spent listening to the podcast. Go find somebody and ask questions. There's so much information, so much mm-hmm. data out there. Go find wisdom. Go seek it out and ask questions. So as you've been mentored and impacted and all of that, now you're raising kids. So you have a family. You have three kids. I love your approach with parenting. I love some of the things that you've said. Hey, culture values these things. We're going to make these kind of the pillars of family, the pillars of parenting. And I love that it also expands beyond just your immediate family. But talk about what are kind of those values, those principles that you and Jody are building for your household?
Yeah, well, if we're thinking in terms of relationship and the legacy that we want to leave in our household and how we're wanting to parent, we kind of have four specific goals. The first one is we want our children to have awesome relationships with their friends, mm-hmm. with a good group of people. We also want our kids to have awesome relationships with us, their uh-huh. parents, right? That's a big deal. We also want them to have awesome relationships with each other, their siblings. And then we really want them to have a great relationship with God. So the things that we're doing, we're trying to focus in on so that when they leave our house, hopefully they'll have those things. That's the legacy we want them to leave, because we know if they're able to succeed in those areas, then hopefully things will turn out great for them.
Okay. So I'm going to just confess something right now. For me and my family, my wife and I, we have a goal, a desire to see our kids follow Jesus into their adult years. We did not sit down and draw out, here's the four pillars of our household and what we're doing. I love that you guys have put the forethought into that you're being intentional with it. And if you didn't catch the theme, it's relationship, 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 and relationship. Those are the four pillars. Talk about kind of each one of those and what you guys have done to foster healthy relationships with friends, with siblings, with parents, and with God.
In order to have healthy relationships, you need to have great emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence means awareness of yourself and awareness of others. So a lot of the things that we're doing with our children, we're trying to help them become aware of how God has created them, how they're thinking through things, how they're processing things, how they respond to things. But we're also trying to help them understand more about other people and how God has made other people and how we can serve other people and how we can love other people, how we can make life about them. Mm-hmm. And those are kind of the things that we're doing to help succeed in those four goals.
I want to talk a little bit about serving because you've talked about this and you've modeled it. You told me before that serving has been a key value for your family. And when you see fruit and you see impact, talk about the connection between what you're seeing and serving.
If you want to be a better parent, serve. Mm-hmm. That's it. Jody and I would not be the parents we are today if it hadn't been for the fact that we had been serving at Sun Valley. If you hadn't showed up at our door when we lived in the house in Chandler and you knocked and said, hey, I need help in youth ministry, that time that we had spent in youth ministry, that time we're currently spending now serving at the church, makes us better parents.
How does that work? What is it about that? Because I agree with you 100%. And sometimes it's hard to explain why. I always just tell people, you just got to serve. You got to jump in and experience it. But what can you articulate to go, this is why serving in youth ministry is a direct correlation to better parenting?
Well, no one's really an expert on parenting. Mm-hmm. It's like you asked me to come on this podcast, talk about parenting. I'm like, okay, sure. I'll tell you what we do and the mistakes we make so other people don't do it, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because we're all new parents. Like most people don't have like 30 kids that they've been able to parent over.
They've done the whole experiment. They've seen the results. They've checked the hypothesis. They've now reworked the variables and now they're going to do another run of it. It all just kind of happens.
Yes. And we're trying to figure it out as we go. Mm-hmm. Well, when you serve specifically in youth ministry, you have the opportunity to see how other parents do it. Mm-hmm. And you can see, oh, I really like that. Yep. I want to do that thing. And maybe you could see, ooh, I didn't necessarily like that. I don't know if that'll work with our family. Mm-hmm. But it gives you the opportunity to see how kids respond to things, how kids think through things, so that when your kid does it, be like, oh, I remember when I was serving in youth ministry and that child did that. Okay, I'm more familiar now with how to respond. And it gives you a level of confidence because now you have a little bit of a level of experience. But here's the big thing. People think that if you want to serve, you have to like have the Bible college degree or, mm-hmm. you know, have this ministry experience.
Or gotten
experience.
Kicked out of Bible college, but at least got 2 years of free education.
Yeah, right.
I did pay them, by the way, if you're listening. I eventually got a loan and worked that off. And
Yeah, like people think like, okay, because I have the degree and you don't, technically I might be more qualified for certain. That is the furthest from the truth. Mm-hmm. To serve and to serve well, you just need to be willing to make life about them.
Yeah.
Just love. Because you and I both know that we don't really remember a whole lot of what the chapel speakers talked about or what the high school youth minister talked about every Sunday.
I can remember two lessons I learned in all of my years growing up in elementary school at church. I can remember two of them. And one of them, I'm like, oh, that's really good. The other one, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a weird one. But I remember the people.
Yes.
I remember who was there.
Yes.
And I remember in junior high who was there. I remember their character. And I remember them seeing me.
Yes.
And not just like, oh, I see you. You're in the room. But like, seeing who I am and remembering my name and asking me questions and just being available, even though I was an obnoxious kid.
Yes.
It was huge.
You remember being loved.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to do. If you want to be a great volunteer, if you want to be a great person serving in youth ministry, just love people. That's it. And if you can do that, you're going to be awesome because that's really what those kids need. And when you bring it back to parenting, we can kind of get caught up in all these little do's and don'ts and pressure and shame of all the things. But really, if we just focus on loving them, it'll work well.
Now, this extends beyond just you and Jody. I went to our summer program that we had for little kids, and and there's your daughter, and she's leading, you know, the dances from up front, and she's even doing the teaching stuff from up front. And so your kids are now serving kids. What impact have you seen amongst your kids by them also serving? So it's not just that you guys serve. You're like, hey, our whole family serving in the church.
Yeah. I absolutely love the parenting curriculum that Sun Valley has put together. Jody and I have had the chance to lead that a few times, and it's been a blast. If you're listening—
By the way, I didn't ask Grant to plug this, but Grant, thank you for plugging
this.
Yes, I'm
plugging it. Yeah. It's so good, man. Like, I mean, I've led FPU. I've led Re-Engage, other different various things. And the Sun Valley Parenting Course, it's awesome. And one of the things that makes it awesome is it's kind of shorter, which is great. So it's not a huge commitment. So if you haven't gone through it yet and you're listening, do it. But one of the things that's talked about in that is more is caught than taught. And that's a big deal. So when you're serving and your kids grow up seeing you serve, they catch that. It's not like we have to teach them and talk to them like, hey, we're going to church and you need to serve. It just becomes what you do.
Yeah.
It just becomes who we are. It just becomes a part of the culture of what our family is. And it points back to our mission about making life about them.
Yeah. It seeps into the DNA of your family. It I love the way you say that. It's just, it's who you are. And just to put this bit of information into your mind too, if you're a parent or you have a niece or a nephew or you're involved in the life of a kid somehow and you have that same desire to see them grow up to be lifelong followers of Jesus— If we're playing Moneyball here, right? We're just looking at statistics and we're looking at what does the data teach us? Kids who serve in the church have the highest probability likelihood of following Jesus as adults. And so all the Barna study statistics, all of that, it's not necessarily that they had great church attendance on a weekend. It's specifically if kids serve those who are younger than themselves. So like students serving with little kids, all of that, the likelihood of them following Jesus goes way up. And so if you're a parent of a kid and you want your kid to follow Jesus, be modeling that in your own serving and then be inviting them to join you in that.
Yes.
That's huge.
And here's how it points back to one of our goals. We want them to have a great relationship with God. It has to be their relationship with God. It can't be, oh, I grew up in a Christian home. It can't be, oh, my mom and dad were Christian, so I'm Christian. When they're serving on their own accord, when they want to genuinely serve, well, then it becomes their relationship with God. And when they leave our home, that's super important for it to be their own unique relationship with the Lord, because that's what's going to help them continue on that path. Because if we're not around to make them go to church or make them serve or whatever, that's going to go away, right? But if it's their own thing, it's a big deal. And you know, you mentioned Cambria. She's up on stage serving. And my youngest daughter, you know, she served really well at summer jam. Well, my son, he wasn't really into it. And he wasn't really serving much. And at South Gilbert on the weekends, he doesn't serve a ton. And, you know, that's okay. But we just got back from a Johnny and Friends camp serving disabled folks. And he thrived, right? He just found a different way to serve. And that camp, man, you just watch over a period of days his relationship with the Lord growing closer, like right in front of your eyes. I mean, it brings tears to your eyes thinking about it. He's just awesome. So don't feel bad if your kids can't find a way to serve at church, right? There's thousands of different ways
to
serve, and God can use them and help them serve in different ways.
Yeah, that's really good. And there is something about when you talk about our relationship with God, when you're in church and you're not just attending church, but you're helping lead. And you have somebody younger say, hey, I got a question. Why does the Bible teach this? Or what if, you know, this? And they have all the questions. And you, as somebody who's an influence now in their life, you go, I don't know the answer. I need to go find out. All of a sudden, you're wrestling with your own faith going, what do I believe? And you're asking those questions, and there's a place for you to really investigate it. When I'm not, I had a season in life where I kind of unplugged from ministry and unplugged from serving in the church, and I was miserable. And I realized, one, nobody was looking up to me. I wasn't, you know, an influence in the life of younger people, and I wasn't getting those questions, and I wasn't wrestling with some of those big questions anymore, and it affected my relationship with God. And so there's this direct connection between loving God and loving people. When we serve others, when we love others, that actually helps us grow in our relationship with God.
Yeah,
which is why Jesus connects those two things together.
Robert, how many times have somebody asked you as a pastor, like, hey, I'm struggling in my faith. I'm feeling stagnant. That question, right? Well, a lot of that is because we're not being stretched. Well, you want to be stretched, serve.
Yeah.
I mean, serving in youth ministry, I just talked about, it's a great way to a parenting hack so you get good at parenting, but it's not all unicorns and gumdrops and rainbows. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard at times.
Yeah.
You serve at summer camp with high schoolers, by day two or three, you're like, dude, get out of my room. I need to sleep. I'm tired. You know, the whole thing. And it's a stretch. And what that does is it forces you to go to God and say, God, I don't have enough. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, use me because I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need your power to help me through this. And that type of engagement with God as you're serving, genuine surrender, being used by the Lord, helps you blow past all those stagnant times. And how cool is it, too, if you're doing that, invite your kids into doing it with you, and or your kids get to see you doing that.
Yeah. I'm going to shift gears with you, and we didn't talk about this in advance, but I know you're ready to answer this one. One of the things that I've seen you do really well is when you lead a small group. So when you, whether it's a high school guy's small group or whatever, one of your big values is just being authentic and genuine, and the fruit that's come from that. So you don't go into it going, I'm going to do a Bible study. Yeah. I'm going to make you learn this passage, memorize this thing. It's not driven necessarily by content. You just say, hey, come be honest. If you don't want to be here, at the beginning of group, be like, hey, I don't actually want to be here. Talk about your philosophy behind that and some of the fruit that you've seen from that mindset and that approach to groups.
Yeah. So something that I learned through youth ministry is that the kids don't want to go to another class. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in class Monday through Friday, and I don't want to give them another class environment. So rather than, you know, going through this bullet point list of things and talking about a particular curriculum, mm-hmm. I'm just creating a space for them to talk about what's on their heart and where they're at. So the two rules I have in my small group are be real and be respectful. Be respectful is sometimes hard to manage with young kids.
Yep.
But the be real part is, hey, if they don't feel like being there and their mom or dad is making them be there and they just want to take a nap, great, go for it. Just mm-hmm. let me know that ahead of time. But if they are struggling with something, mm-hmm. something's on their heart, if something's on their mind, they need to talk about it.
Yeah.
Right? Be real. And that's the spectrum I want them to live in, from I don't really want to be here, I'm tired, I'm going to take a nap, to I'm really struggling with this thing, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be okay to be emotional about it in front of you guys. And how that's played into my parenting is sometimes we, you know, read a book or we do a thing and we say, oh, yeah, I got to go on dates with my kids, or I'm going to do these trips with my kids. So I'm going to go through this bullet point list of things that the, you know, Bible study told me to do with my kids. Well, my kids are the same way. Mm-hmm. They get enough of mom and dad preaching at them, you know?
Yep.
So when I'm on one of these trips with them, I don't have an agenda always to like go through. Mm-hmm. I just want to create an opportunity for them to be authentic and let them know that they can trust me in communicating with me. And I'm going to ask them and invite them into being real, mm-hmm. so that they too can have those types of conversations with me, and the fruit that I've received from that as a dad, and hopefully the fruit they've gotten from it as a kid, has been awesome.
All right. I'm going to repeat what Grant just said, and I want you to hear this in a different context. If you are an adult and you are in a small group, whether that's an on-campus group or you're meeting in a home and you're doing small group, the two words of advice that I want to reiterate, be real and be respectful.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just guidance for students. I think that's guidance for all of us. If you're having a rough time or there's something going on, church is not a place you come to fake it. Small group is not a place that you come to say, no, everything's great, everything's good. Be real and be respectful. That's huge.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. I do want to, real quick, you mentioned trips with your kids and all of that. You've made a decision, and we talked about this before on the podcast, that the way kids spell love is through time, T-I-M-E.
Yes.
And you made a decision to spend some intentional time. You're an entrepreneur. You have multiple branches of your business. You have multiple staff that you oversee, and you author, you write books, you do all of that, yet you still prioritize time with your kids. What have you done to carve out and to make sure that time is protected?
Well, the first thing I recognized is that what time is to us is different to our kids. Mm-hmm. So we might say, you know, a road trip to San Diego, you know, 5.5-6 hour drive, that's no big deal. Great time with my wife sitting in the car driving. But to our children, sometimes waiting 5 minutes is forever. Oh, mm-hmm. no, it's going to take forever, you know. And that's just because they've been on the earth a little less than we have,
yeah,
right?
So less perspective.
Yeah, the perspective of time is very different. So I tell you that to say, kids don't need 2 hours of you focusing in, mm-hmm. you know, eyeball to eyeball. They probably don't even want that, right? It can be short.
Yeah.
It can be short. So don't carry this guilt that I don't spend enough time with my kids. You know, I need to be with them every waking hour or go on these long, gigantic, extravagant things. Like, that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. It can be short moments of time. You've just got to be focused in those times. Mm-hmm. So a couple of different things that my wife and I do. One, I do go on a coffee date with them once a week, but it's not 3 dates for each kid in the week. Mm-hmm. I go on one date and they rotate yep. each week who yep. goes in. And that takes maybe 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's a local coffee shop right by our house. Get in the car, head over there in the morning, get coffee, come back.
Yep.
Most of the time, there's really not a whole lot of conversations that go on and we're not talking about anything crazy. It's just, again, trying mm-hmm. to be real. But because I'm pursuing them and they know they get that time with daddy, we do from time to time have some heartfelt conversations, yeah. which is great. We also do a birthday trip with me once around their birthday every year, once a year. And this isn't always something extravagant like, you know, sometimes I'll go to Chicago with my son and we'll watch the Cubs or the mm-hmm. Bears or a Notre Dame Fighting Irish game because we're those fans. Sometimes it's, hey, we're going to just do a camp out at daddy's office and, you know, watch something on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. but we're going to have some intentional time with yep. each other. Again, yep. it's just time. One of the big ones, though, that my wife and I do is called One Kid Up, where we put the other two kids to bed a little earlier. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't take any extra time from us. The mm-hmm. other two just go to bed earlier. We don't tell them that to go to sleep. They just have to have their doors closed and not interrupt us.
Yep.
But the other child stays up with just me and Jody. Mm-hmm. And they love that time.
Yeah.
And we do that once a week. And it's basically only a half hour to an hour's worth of time.
Yep.
And they get to pick what they want to do.
Yep.
And in these times, Jody and I might have intentional conversations about drugs, sex. We might go through some books or curriculum. Mm-hmm. Other times, we just want to be silly with them and listen and maybe watch their favorite YouTube channel or yep. whatever it is. But they know they get that time
yeah.
with us, and that time is important. So those are some practical things that we do.
That's been so good. We're out of time, but Grant, thank you so much for taking time and, sharing kind of your journey. And like you said, you don't have everything figured out, but you're learning some things along the way, and thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. I do have one thing yeah. I do want to say. If you're a parent and you're listening to this, and maybe you have experienced some parenting failures, I want to speak to you directly and say, it's okay. Don't have any shame mm-hmm. or guilt for mistakes that you've made as a parent. Mm-hmm. I've made a ton, and as have you, Robert. And there's no way you're going to do it perfect. Mm-hmm. We cannot control our children's behaviors. We have a hard enough time controlling our own. Mm-hmm. Just control the controllables. Love them with everything you got and love them through the mistakes. Mm-hmm. Because when you love them through your mistakes, that will make a bigger impact on them than you know. Mm-hmm. No shame. No shame to you. If you struggled, you've made mistakes, it's okay. Just start loving them.
That's good. Grant, can I ask you to pray for us? Pray for those who are listening.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to leave a legacy and to have relationships with others. Lord, help us to have awesome, real relationships with the youth. God, for the parents that are out there, I ask that you would give them time. Help them to understand how much time really is needed to love their children with time. Give them opportunities to love their kids in unique ways. And Lord, more than anything, I ask that you would help their kids feel love from their parents, experience love from their parents. And through that, it might draw them closer to you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would grant to each of these parents the fruits of your spirit as they pursue you, and those fruits would be a cornerstone of their parenting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Grant, thanks so much.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Loving God, Loving People podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast wherever you are listening so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this conversation, we'd love it if you rated the podcast and left us a review. Also, sharing this with a friend is a great way to help more people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And lastly, you are always welcome to join us online for one of our services every week at live.sv.cc or go to locations.sv.cc to join us in person at one of our physical locations. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.